Please be seated. There's a little saying that I often hear in some of the circles in which I travel. And perhaps you've heard it as well. It goes something like this. God never gives you more than you can handle. It's a useful saying. At times I have heard it used as a nice spiritual way of saying, I'm not interested in your problems. For example, if I approached someone and began telling them how difficult it can be to write a sermon that educates and inspires while still holding the attention of the congregation, and they responded, well, God never gives you more than you can handle. I might assume that person has no interest in discussing my struggles as a preacher. In this case, God never gives you more than you can handle simply means it's your problem. God has given it to you, and he wants you to handle it. So please go and do so, preferably somewhere where I don't have to see or hear about it. When this useful little saying is employed in this manner, I'd usually prefer the person to use the more direct approach of, please don't talk to me, instead of trying to use God as a barrier for that pain and effort which often accompanies our concern for another's struggles. Sometimes the saying is used as a spiritual means of producing self-sufficiency. That is to say, hey, you've got this. Not because someone isn't interested in helping me in this case, but because they are interested in helping me help myself. They want me to know that I've been given the ability to handle whatever comes my way. So here, the useful little phrase is intended to remind me that God gave me bootstraps for a reason. But most often, those words mean something to the effect of, God loves you, and he knows your limitations. And this God who both loves and knows you isn't going to give you something that you can't handle. Like when Chris and Wyatt want to help us unload groceries. Now both Teresa and I have a pretty good idea of what our boys can lift. And before giving them a bag, we pick it up ourselves. We do this to gauge the bag's approximate weight, and then compare that approximation to what we think they can lift. If the weight of the bag falls within those limits, we hand it off. Now, if it's too heavy for Wyatt, we might hand it to Chris. If it's too heavy for him as well, we carry it ourselves and give them something else to carry. We do this because we love our boys, and we don't want them to hurt themselves. Or even more important, to damage the things we've given them. So in this sense, when someone tells me, God never gives you more than you can handle, they really mean is that God loves and knows me. He cares for me and wants me to succeed. In this way, the phrase is used basically for pastoral purposes, to remind me that my Father isn't going to hand me a bag that's too heavy. A bag that might injure me, or one I'm sure to drop and whose contents are going to spill and be damaged, like St. Peter's. This is a nice and comforting thought. The only problem with this useful little saying, which I must confess I have used myself in all three ways, including the first, at one time or another, is this. Based on today's readings, you simply can't get there from here. Now, the problem with the first use of the phrase is fairly obvious, right? Today's gospel, along with this morning's collect, reminds us that when it comes to Christian ministry, your problems are my problems. And God help you, mine are yours. Jesus sends out the disciples not to tell the world that its problems are its own, but instead to offer healing and deliverance in Christ's own name. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent, They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is not the work of those who might say, your problems are your problems, please go deal with them. No, this is the work of those who recognize a broken world and wish to be a small part of its healing. So you do you, or take your problems elsewhere, essentially has no place in a discipleship that insists upon our care for one another, that unites us to one another with pure affection through Jesus Christ. Loving our God requires us to love our neighbor. But the other two uses of this little saying are also problematic. The kind of self-sufficiency that wants to remind us that we can always pull ourselves up by our bootstraps finds itself in direct opposition to the way in which Jesus sends out his disciples this morning. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on two tunics. In other words, Jesus is looking for good disciples and not good Boy Scouts. In this kind of discipleship, always be prepared means make almost no provision for yourself. They are to prepare for being unwelcome by essentially making no preparations at all. He gives them no plan B. Those who are sent out by God are to rely on God. Taking with them only the barest of essentials, they are to place their hope in the words they carry and little more. They are given authority over unclean spirits by God's own word and asked to trust in him and in the hospitality of those who would hear that word. They aren't even allowed boots, let alone the straps by which they might pull themselves up. Self-sufficiency must necessarily give way to God's sufficiency if we are to be disciples of Christ. As our Lord reminded Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. So what I can or cannot handle is immaterial when I'm not the one doing the heavy lifting. But the final use of the phrase, God never gives you more than you can handle, is actually the most problematic. And it's the most problematic because it feels so good. It feels good to be reassured that my strengths are equal to the tasks set before me, that I can handle whatever comes my way. It feels good to trust that God only gives us what we can carry. And it feels good to reassure others of this as well, to help them place their trust in a God who is so personal that he cares about every task he gives us, that he matches every calamity that he sends our way with the right amount of strength to handle that struggle. But the main problem is this. Every calamity that we face, every struggle that awaits us when we walk out our front door each morning is not from God. God did not give you or your loved one cancer in order to show you that you have the strength to overcome it, or even so you will put your trust in him. God does not cause school buses to careen into oncoming traffic in order to fill the pews of a small town church with mourning parents, or even to remind them of the importance of their faith. And God did not afflict me with alcoholism because he wanted me to turn my life over to him, even though that was the eventual outcome of his delivering me from the torment of unclean spirits. Our readings from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians and this morning's readings from Mark's Gospel, alongside page after page of Scripture, remind us that there are other powers at work in this world. dark powers that do not act in accordance with God's will. Yes, the thorn in Paul's side keeps him humble. But according to the readings, in no uncertain terms, that thorn is not from God. The messenger that torments him is not a messenger of God. It is, in the Greek, an angelos, a messenger, or more literally, an angel, that has yoked itself to Satan. To use a term that may put me on thin ice in the Episcopal Church, it is something demonic, doing the will of the evil one. And Paul's strength against this thorn is not from within. It is not some power he possesses or an ability he has perfected over time. It is simply God's grace, something other than what Paul can muster himself. God has not handed Paul a bag of groceries less than or equal to what he can carry. No, a burden has been placed on Paul, a heavy burden, a burden that Paul cannot hope to lift. This hardship is not from God, and Paul cannot handle it, which is precisely why he is in need of God's grace. Essentially, Paul is handed a bag of groceries by someone else. And our Lord, in his compassion, our Lord who knows Paul's meager limitations, says, "Here, let me get that for you." Paul is no more capable of handling his load than the few sick people whom Jesus is able to heal in his hometown are able to heal themselves. Paul has no more power over the one who torments him than those who must rely on the one sent out by Jesus to cast out their demons. But it's in Paul's weakness that he calls out for God's grace. The grace that is sufficient, the grace that is perfect power. And although God is not the source of the thorn in his side, Christ is clearly at work in him. His strength is in Christ alone. For even the humility that comes from accepting that we haven't the strength to lift much of what is given to us, above all else, is a gift from God. Our strength, like Paul's, is in our weakness. Shortly, we will pray together that prayer which has united Christians since the first followers of Christ pleaded with him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And through that prayer we've been given, we will ask our Father to deliver us from evil. Or according to Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer, to deliver us from the evil one. We will place our hope of deliverance not in our own ability, but in the hands of a loving God. Yes, that loving God will sometimes send us trials that are intended as tests of faith, in order to strengthen that faith. But even faith is a gift from God. No man or woman can produce faith within themselves, and God alone can strengthen it. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Our strength in facing those trials which are from God is identical to our strength in suffering those thorns which are not. But if we ascribe to God those sufferings which are not from him, we are absolutely sure to miss the truth that he alone can deliver us from evil, and that evil is not of God. Our reliance is not on ourselves. Our strength is in our Father, for whom no burden from him or anywhere else is too heavy. We, like Paul, may even come to find contentment in those sufferings which are not from God, because we know that from them he is even now redeeming our broken flesh. The simple truth is this: God never gives us nor allows us to be given more than he can handle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.